home is.
Chris Christie. It's also a day for turkey, pumpkin pie, football, and one very big parade. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade now making its way down 6th Avenue in New York City under sunny blue skies. The big stars, as always, the big balloons. Some of the new ones for 2012.
New balloons this year include Papa Smurf, Hello Kitty, and the storybook character Elf on the Shelf. About four dozen balloons in total, along with 8,000 marchers, including bands and performers and handlers, all making their way to us right now.
Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso out on the parade route. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Shepard Smith. Happy Thanksgiving from our Fox News family to yours.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Guys are clear to start on this Thanksgiving Thursday. Looks like we've got some great weather coming up for today. High pressure is right up along the mid-Atlantic states. It'll be moving offshore on Friday. A cold front moving down out of the Great Lakes. Right now, it's across the Dakotas and Montana. Well, that'll be moving through sometime late Friday with the possibility of a few showers. The winds will shift around to the northwest, and they'll be gusty during the daytime on Saturday, bringing in some colder air. Highs are expected only to range to around 45 on Saturday and only 40 to 45 on Sunday. In our extended outlook, Monday's looking fair, but Tuesday offers a possibility of some rain. Looks like rain will be moving in during the afternoon and at night, and it looks like another blustery outbreak of some colder air for the end of next week. In detail, sunny skies for today, highs mid-50s, clear for tonight into the upper 30s. On Friday, mostly sunny, back up to 53 to 58 degrees. A few showers likely at night in the upper 30s. Saturday might be a leftover shower, but then becoming partly sunny mid-40s. And Sunday, mostly sunny, breezy, about 40 to 45. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
It's Thanksgiving again.
And here's hoping your Thanksgiving is a beautiful reminder of all the good things in your life. Like us.
This is a real Thanksgiving.
VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levinsohl, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, 2012, November 22nd, the 62nd day of autumn. We have lost 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 28 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:51 this morning. It will set at 4:31 this evening. We will have 9 hours and 40 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 1:17 this afternoon. That's 3 hours, a little less than 3 hours. It will set at 4:31. I'm sorry. It will set at 2:06 tomorrow morning. We are 2 days past first quarter. Next full moon is next Wednesday, November 28th, one day before we meet again. We have a fifth broadcast this month. The winter solstice, I did not jot what day, but it's approximately a month from today. It's either the 21st or the 22nd, sometimes the 20th. So we have a month until winter, which means 4 months until spring. Isn't that a nice thought? Next high tides in New Rochelle, 6:59 tonight, in Yonkers 4:34 this evening, Dobbs Ferry 5:02, and in Peekskill at 5:57. When I was out running this morning at something after 7, it was quite high. That the earlier high tide was 6:32, for your information. Now you know. Our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Staff Sergeant Kenneth W. Bennett, age 26, of Glendora, California. No unit was specified in the chart. He was killed during combat operations in Spurwangar, Afghanistan, on November 10th. Specialist Daniel L. Carlson, age 21, of Running Springs, California. He was with the 25th Infantry Division. He died in a non-battle-related injury in Kandahar on November 9th. Private First Class Brandon Lucas Buttry, age 19, of Shenandoah, Iowa. He was with 2nd Infantry, also a non-battle-related injury in Kandahar. Three soldiers were killed when enemy forces attacked their unit with a roadside bomb in Paktia province on November 3rd. They were Specialist Ryan Paul Jane, age 22, of Campbell, New York. Sergeant Brett Edward Gornekovitz, age 27, of Alden, New York. And Staff Sergeant Dane Taylor Venn, age 29, of Port Henry. And all three of those soldiers were reservists, people who joined never expecting to see combat, and they're dead now. Sergeant Bennett and Specialist Carlson were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. The other four American servicemen were killed just days earlier. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Indeed, the number of casualties has diminished, which is the good news. The bad news is that there are still any casualties at all. President Obama has promised that the war will end soon, and I take him at his word. I look forward to the day when we can announce that this feature has indeed come to an end, because the report sheets are empty. Please remember these fallen Americans and think of those who still stand to risk to protect our way of life. You're not worthy of their sacrifice just because you were born in or live in this country. You must remember them. Think of them and their families. Mourn them. Time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Well, we saw the movie Lincoln. And we have the sheet here somewhere. Okay, it's a new film. It's based in part on the book Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin. She won a Pulitzer for that book. It chronicles the battle for passage of the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which states simply that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States. A little more elaborate than that. If you want to read it exactly, just give me a call and I will read it directly from the Constitution, which I keep with me most of the time. Abraham Lincoln felt strongly about this. He understood the power of the office of president, and he used lobbyists. You know, he was not a purist. He was a politician. He used lobbyists and political techniques as well as anyone. The difference, though, between Lincoln and many politicians of today is that Lincoln's goals were decent and meant to move his country, our country, forward. He was a Republican, and it was the Democrats who were intransigent at that time. Today, lobbyists are more likely to be used to represent special interests rather than the progress of the United States and the human condition. So be it. This film does portray Lincoln's sense of humor and great storytelling ability. He had great charm and compassion. He was, as I said, he was not at all above politics. Winning passage of the 13th Amendment was no easy task, but it was right. He fought for it, and he got it. If you're a history buff, or you like wordy drama with little action, or if you're a Lincophile, okay, there's no such word yet, then you'll probably find this film worthwhile. If you want entertainment, you should paint your room and then watch it dry. Then at least you will have a painted room. But not to be too harsh, it's not a bad film, well-crafted by Steven Spielberg, but certainly not a date movie. Don't go there for entertainment, for sure. Daniel Day-Lewis does a fine job of recreating Lincoln, although in response to some reviewers, I must say that Lewis is not an Oscar shoo-in. Some guys are raving, oh, you might as well rename Oscar Daniel. That's ridiculous. It's a good portrayal, not to take away from it, but it didn't make me stand up and hoot and holler, that's for sure. He's good, but not such greatness that the game is over. Sally Field captures the depressed and slightly touched Mary Todd Lincoln, which I don't think is a great stretch for her. The lighting is suitably moody to suggest the period, but I don't really care for that kind of dim lighting, so I wasn't that impressed. So see it if you wish, but don't say I didn't warn you. 3 stars would be a stretch. Maybe because I like Spielberg and love Lincoln, I am being a bit too generous. If not for them, this film would be no better than 2.5. Joining me in the studio today is Nancy DeRosa, author of 3 books, actually, A Penny's Worth, Lazy Robert, and There's No Place Like Home. Nancy is a Westchester resident, grew up in New Rochelle. Yes. Welcome, Nancy DeRosa.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Bob.
It's my pleasure to have you here. Now, thank you for taking the time out of your Thanksgiving preparations. You're cooking today, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I have everything ready, so I'm in good shape right now.
Yeah, you have turkey in the oven?
Not yet. It goes in at 12 because I don't put the stuffing in. I always do it on the side to give it a little, make it a little easier for me and less time in the oven.
Less time in the oven.
Yeah, the turkey, if you stuff it, it's many more hours. So
many more hours.
Don't stuff it. It's much easier to do. And I do my stuffing on the side.
So you, but then you stick it in the bread for the last hour or so?
No, I just do
it all
separately. Yeah, I use sausage and mushroom in my stuffing, so I give it really good flavor and walnuts and yeah.
Nice.
I do this every year the same way.
Do you pour turkey juice in it or anything?
Yes, I also do chicken broth and I make my own gravy from the turkey and I've been doing it every year the same exact way with the same dishes. I don't deviate. My family would probably strike if I did. It's tradition's important with holidays, but I enjoy it. I like doing Thanksgiving.
Cool. So let's talk about your most recent book. It's called A Penny's Worth.
Yes.
It's a novel about a woman who finds herself. Well, actually, it's about a woman whose mother was not very supportive and made her feel like she was worth maybe a penny.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about the.
Her whole family, from the time she was younger, the mom had always treated the boys with more respect and instilled confidence in them. You know, the premise of the book is she was never given a sense of worth from the time she was born. And how it's possible to build this up yourself, your sense of worth, and make the life that you desire. And everyone at one time or another, whether it's a spouse or a boss or a friend or a child or anyone, can make you feel unworthy at one point or another in your life. And how you can build up your confidence and sense of self within yourself on your own and create your own life despite what anyone tells you.
Well, we're bombarded with messages, good and bad, from
yes.
people around us.
Yes.
And it just depends on who we are, which ones we take seriously and which ones stick. If you're a confident person and people say something negative about you, it just rolls off.
Yes.
They say something positive, you say, yeah, that sounds like me.
Yes.
But if you are not confident, then the barbs stick.
And in different times of your life, You may have more going on than others. I think we all can be vulnerable to feeling unworthy at some different times of our lives, whether we're going through a bad marriage or a boss is needling us day after day. We all can have
or getting
that
bullied.
Feeling. Or being
In fact,
bullied.
Wasn't one of your previous books, wasn't the Robert book about bullies?
Well, one of his books, the second piece of the installment, is Bob Gets Bullied on the Bus. The first one is Lazy Robert, who watches too much television and forgets outdoor play and social interaction. But I think there's so many areas in our lives and experiences that are difficult. So sometimes we're a little more on a stronger foundation than others. And this book is she's not a rocket scientist, Penny. She's just a regular woman who's always not had what she wanted in her life and finally believed in herself. And despite anyone telling her she could not do things, her family placed fear in her heart.
So I have to ask if this is autobiographical, because it sounds very much like
something that... I think it's a little bit of everyone, of myself, of people that I know that have gone through struggles in their lives. I think we've all experienced a little bit of what Penny has.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. My guest is Nancy DeRosa. I am Bob Lovensoul. This is Environmentally Sound. We will be right back.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
I'm Karen McHugh. On this Thanksgiving Day, thousands are still dealing with the effects of Hurricane Sandy. New Jersey officials lent a hand delivering holiday meals, among them the governor.
While it will be a painful Thanksgiving for many in some respects, reflecting on what they've lost if they're out of their homes, really when you're with your family, that's where your home is.
Chris Christie. It's also a day for turkey, pumpkin pie, football, and one very big parade. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade making its way down 6th Avenue, New York City, under sunny blue skies. The big stars, as always, the big balloons. Some of the new ones for 2012.
New balloons this year include Papa Smurf, Hello Kitty, and the storybook character Elf on the Shelf. About 4 dozen balloons in total, along with 8,000 marchers, including bands and performers and handlers, all making their way to us right now.
Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso on the parade route. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Can I fire an employee for talking too loud? When it's hot as heck outside, do I have to send my staff home if our company AC is broken? Am I allowed to require my staff to actually work a full day and be productive? Every Monday and Friday morning, right after the 11:30 news, we'll have answers to these and other on-the-job questions in our segment called the Workplace Minute. I'm Rich Landau, a partner with Jackson Lewis, the preeminent labor and employment law firm in the country. Each week, I'll tackle these seemingly simple but often infuriating issues for both employers and employees. We look forward to you joining us.
Grateful for each hand we hold.
To you and your loved ones.
Gathered round this table.
Have a joyous Thanksgiving feast from VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. Okay, and we're talking to Nancy DeRosa about her book, A Penny's Worth, and about general human condition. Penny grew up diffident, unconfident. And at what point, where was her epiphany where she said, I'm better than this, I can be successful? And before you answer, address if it's an autobiographical book on some level.
I think on some level I have felt like her, like Penny, and a lot of people that I know. I think she is a piece of a lot of us. She's everybody at one time or another, or most of us at one time or another, because if you go through life, you're going to have some good times and some bad times. You're going to feel less than and feel like you really have everything going on. And then you may have a year where you don't. So I think she's a little bit of a lot of people. And she's definitely a little bit of me at different times of my life. She had a very small experience that ignited the spark in her. She would go out with her dog to take a walk, and she always had to walk with this neighbor that she really did not want to spend time with. And then one day she finally told her how she felt about their discussions, which were empty. And the neighbor stopped walking with her. And all of a sudden she realized, I made every morning better for myself because I finally said something. And this ignited a fire in her to change her life little by little. And her family gave her a hard time. She worked at a local elementary school that she herself had gone to as a nurse. And she had done that all her life. And she wanted to change careers. And she did that. She wanted to make friends. And she did that. And as she built her sense of self, she was finally ready to meet somebody and to fall in love. She wanted a family, she wanted friends, and she wanted a life that her brothers had. And no one really saw how sad and unhappy she was. And she also gained the respect of her family by standing up to them and by doing what felt right to her. So she created her life and did everything that she wanted, and also her family began to see her and respect her for who she was. And I think that that's a lot of us, that's we all want respect, and we all want careers or lives, or whether we want to be home with our families, mm-hmm. We want to create a life that makes us happy and makes us feel satisfied.
Now, one reviewer said about your book that it was Cinderella for adults, something.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
Does that ring true to you?
I love that. She actually had a picture of Cinderella on the review. It was a really nice review, and it really, I like that, that I now say that it's an adult-themed Cinderella story in a real-life setting. So
but
I love that.
There's no magic. It's just more of an epiphany that she has.
Yes,
it's
and
not,
it's a
it's
satisfying.
There's no fairy godmothers or anything like that. It's
no,
just a regular
she's
novel.
The fairy godmother to she, herself, I think. She bestows the gifts that she needs for herself on her own. No one gives her anything.
Okay. Well, we... You know, I have found that the people who get a lot of gifts, people who are left big inheritances or businesses that they didn't have to build themselves, have less qualities.
Yes.
as a human being. They don't have the character that it takes to go through that process.
And they don't appreciate what they have because it was so easy for them to obtain.
Yes, and I've known quite a number of people like that. They're really boring to talk to. They don't do any real insightful thinking or philosophizing. They just take it as, oh, well, I'm riding the crest and I don't have to bother what's in the trough. So I have a friend who's also an agent, has been my agent in the past, who has 30 or 40 books in print, and she doesn't have a lot of money. So this novel's not going to make you wealthy.
No.
Right. Okay. So given that, was it worth the journey? Is it an experience, the process of writing a novel and experiencing that and having the words flow, even if it doesn't make you money, was it worth the journey?
I feel that you never know what's around the corner. And I wrote the book because I wanted to be a writer since I was a little girl.
Really?
I feel so happy to have the opportunity to write books, to have them published, and to have people read them, whether it's 35 people or 35,000 people. I am so happy to have had this experience and opportunity to have my books published. So I feel very good about that. And for people to share in my writing is a wonderful feeling to me.
What about the process? I've written a couple of novels, not published them, but I've written them, and I understand the process. Tell me what your process is. Do you write on schedule? Do you plan it, or does it just kind of come? Do your characters start being living lives of their own, or do you control everything they do and
say? Each book that I've written has been a different inspiration. I felt with Penny, she's lived inside of me. I always have stories in my head every day. I could be cooking and I'm thinking of this character, and particularly Penny. She lived in my head for years, and I developed her storyline, and it continued in my head. And it was really interesting because once I started writing about this character, who was such a part of me, I really enjoyed developing her, it stopped being in my head, and it started to go on the paper, and it just flowed into
the
book.
So is she out of you now?
Yes. She's
so you don't
now,
think about
she's
her
now
anymore
a relative.
She has her own
live
life.
Inside me. But
she lives in this book.
Yes.
If you're
and
watching.
There she is. And I felt once she came out on paper, she was out in the world. She was unleashed. My children's book was an inspiration.
That's the Robert book?
Yes. He was a little crab.
Lazy Robert.
Lazy Robert. Yes.
What about that one? He was a crab, and was it the same book where there was bullying in that same book? Or?
Well, Lazy Robert was the little boy that plays too many video games and forgets what the outdoors has to offer, and it deals with nutrition.
Yeah.
It deals with not when
Excellent.
You play too many Xbox games or watch too much television, you're not interacting with your friends outside on the slide or the swing.
Yeah.
And his friends would come to the window and try to engage him.
Interesting. Oh, so
and
they weren't caught up in that same thing, his friends.
No.
They were out.
They wanted him, and he just got very holed up in his room. And, of course, I had the donuts and the scattered popcorn.
So was
because
he a chubby
eat.
Kid, too?
No, but it showed that he was just being very lethargic and eating the wrong types of snacks. It's mindless eating when you're playing games oftentimes.
And where were his parents?
I didn't have his parents in the book.
Well,
I just
they were shirking their responsibilities.
Well, it could be looked at that way. How I wanted to portray it was how television and how Xbox and all types of gaming can sometimes take over your life. Like it has to be different slices of life. A part of your life, yes, as a young child, if you enjoy it, but you also have to go out and play baseball and sports or just
yeah,
be
to
with
skin
your friends.
Your knee and maybe
and exercise
cry
and
sometimes
fresh air.
Because you get beat up or because you fall down.
Yeah, just be with your friends outside and create outdoor activities.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's really what
that's
about.
What he was about. And what about There's No Place Like Home? What was that?
That was a book that was set in a suburban town, and it was a woman who was very dissatisfied with her life, but she was hypocritical, because that's what I love to develop about her, because she pointed her finger at everyone else in her family for making herself unhappy, but her own choices in her life were not the best choices. And once she realized that, she began to mend and try to heal her family and take some of the responsibility for her unhappiness on herself. So that was important to show that with this particular character.
It's interesting. When I asked you to come on, I imagined you talk about the book for a while, but you seem to have so much more. You know, whenever we move to another book or social media. You're a thoughtful person. I appreciate that.
Well,
that makes
thank you so much.
Makes you a better guest than just somebody who writes a book.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Okay, we have another minute before we go to close. The book here is A Penny's Worth. Now, is it on the shelves in all the bookstores, or do you have to go online, or does Barnes & Noble have
Barnes & Noble hat. You can order it online, Barnes & Noble. So, it's on Kindle. It's on Amazon. Bookstores, feel, are starting to order it.
Excellent.
I have nice reviews.
In what section does it go? Young adult? It's not a child's book.
Well, they have it on different. It's women's fiction. It's also under self-help and motivational.
When you say women's fiction, that suggests to me those trash novels. That's not what we're talking about.
No, that's women's fiction can encompass any fiction for women that is targeted to women.
So it's not just romance novels. That's a stereotype.
No, and this is not,
this is not a romance
at all.
This is a growth novel.
But there's a surprise at the end, which is my most favorite part of the book. So I hope you read it and come to the end and enjoy it as much as I enjoyed writing it.
That sounds like I should do that. let's stop here. But okay, so the name of the book is A Penny's Worth. The author's name is Nancy DeRosa. That's Nancy, as it sounds. DeRosa, DeRosa. On the book, they're all lowercase, but you can spell them with capitals. my proofreader is crying a little bit.
Be fine with me.
Anyway, it's called A Penny's Worth, and Nancy is here in the studio. And we're going to have you back, Nancy, so we can talk about
thank you so much
other things.
For having me.
Social media and those kinds of things. Okay, good. Thank you again for coming to New Rochelle this morning to be with us. Good luck with the book.
It was my pleasure.
Good luck with the turkey and the stuffing.
Yes, thank you.
Our thought for the week. You are all about to have affordable health care. Almost all of you will see a reduction in your taxes. The war in Afghanistan will soon come to an end. Any Supreme Court justices who are appointed in the next 4 years will be progressive, and that means our country will move forward. And the people in charge in Washington believe in and take global warming and climate change seriously, unlike some of the people on the other side of the aisle who say, what global warming? Well, we've seen devastating hurricanes in this area. We've seen tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes elsewhere. Climate change is here. We can see it. Global warming is more subtle, but the climate change we see. What's not to like about this administration? Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the U.S. of A., perhaps the world. Next up, I don't know. Probably Howard is on vacation or Arnold Klugman. Will he be here live? Okay, Arnold Klugman is the chairman of the New Rochelle Democratic Party, if I got that right. Many thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy.
Important to you on Thanksgiving.
Going to my grandmother's house, just getting together.
Being with my family.
Happy holidays from your radio family. We are AM 1460, WVOX New Rochelle, and WVOX.